Sure. I mean, in that increased education funds that the governor highlighted, there is $4.3 million in to begin the phase-in of universal pre-K for all Maryland four-year-olds by 2018. So this is the first step forward in what will be a five-year roll-in expansion.
Other questions?
Could you explain for those people, you know, you're then talking about cuts, $9.1 billion, and people will come back and say in the overall total budget, this year's budget is like $13 billion higher than your first budget, which was $26 billion, and now you're up to $39 billion. Could you explain what you mean by those cuts that you achieved? We're talking about the, you know, total budget.
Yeah, I'm going to let it. Eloise, you want to take this one?
Certainly.
Secretary Foster. She tends to talk very fast, though.
I'll try to talk fast.
I think you're good.
So, okay. So, certainly, I mean,
always take a deep breath.
There's a chart there.
We've been trying, honestly, Len, to we've been trying to explain this for 8 years, in fairness. But
I think there's a chart.
Which
you could
chart?
Go back to the chart, which shows the cumulative reductions over the 8 years.
Right.
It shows when we first started in 2007, and identifies through that period how we had a succession of reductions either in the operating budget or when we went to the Board of Public Works. The BPW cuts are identified there, but the bottom line is all of those show the cumulative spending reductions that were done since the O'Malley Brown administration took office. They totaled $9.1 billion.
And Len, I guess another way to say it is people, another way, we're always, these are cut, a lot of these cuts, yes, were cuts to spending growth, but some of the growth we intended. I mean, Thornton, we did intend. Do you have the education slide showing us where education was?
Cuts in mandated spending, so you actually did have to do something to
right.
reduce the growth.
Mm-hmm. And each of those on those red things, I mean, there is a public record to all of those. And we and credit to Treasurer Kopp and Comptroller Franchot. In the depths of the recession, as difficult as it was, I don't believe we ever had any sort of acrimonious grandstanding about the tough stuff we needed to do. It wasn't easy, but we were able to make the decisions because of this institution of the Board of Public Works that we have, and to be able to adjust more quickly than a lot of other states. Remember the specter of our poor Governor Rendell in Pennsylvania waiting in Harrisburg and, you know, kind of going on hunger strike until the legislature came back. We didn't have to wait. We were able to do all those cuts after cuts. So here's the education funding. We did, in fact, increase education funding. And part of the way we did that, yes, was the penny increase of the sales tax. But the other big part of it was making cuts to everything else. So we've gone from doing $4.4 billion a year in education funding. This year we'll have a record level of education funding. I should have said that in this 10 slides, you know? I don't think we said that. Yeah, let's put this one up in that slide deck. So this is record funding for K-12 education. So we've gone from $4.4 billion. Last year we did $5.9 billion, almost six. This year it's over six, $6.1 billion. Record level of education funding. Can you do the school construction one too? This represents the average annual allocation to school construction. In this year's budget, we are proposing $289 million for school construction, or was it
$289 million.
$289 million in school construction. And these are the averages over each 4 year of those prior administrations and ours. And this one I remember very distinctly when Delegate Anthony Brown said in our first budget, we've got to catch up with some of this backlog in school construction. I think that year we put, 400 in a single year. On average, that's what we've done. Other questions?
Governor, would you discuss the decision-making behind a 3% increase in college tuition?
Sure. It's the same way it's been every year for the last eight. In other words, we put in additional money at the all of us to our college and university system in order to hold down the cost of tuition. And then the regents set their tuition. And if the regents didn't have the dollars from the state, they'd have to pass those costs on to the kids and treat the universities like a toll road, like they do now, and put the Arizona slide back up, like they do in many other states, where they have said, look, people that are going through college should have to pay a greater part of the freight of going to college. And here in Maryland, we believe that public universities and the level of education of our people is something that's important to all of us and gives our children a future with more opportunity. And so we have chosen, in order to strengthen and grow our middle class, to do a number of things. One of them has been to make college more affordable for more people by holding down the costs. So we put the money in up front, David, and then that allows them to not to have to pass as much of the cost on to the students, in-state students, when they set their tuition and their budget for the year. And every year it's a bit of a negotiation at budget time.
So your budget includes almost $10 million to cover the cost of capping the tuition at 3% at the University System of Maryland.
What would have otherwise been?
Five.
Well, oh, that's what they said. They were hoping we'd...
They were hoping to get five.
No, they get five. We told them not more than five.
Enhance security at the Baltimore City
Yes. There are, in this budget, there are 100 new correctional officers for the system. Many of them will be deployed, though, into pins in the Western Maryland, right? More the prisons than the jail, although the jail that we run is one of the largest jails in the nation, and that jail is, I do believe, larger than most of our prisons. Can I see the... Thank you. Yeah, there's a number of things in here for public safety and for... let me talk about Baltimore City Jail. We will soon be flicking the switch on the new technology that we've invested in Baltimore City Jail that renders the cell phones as useless as paperweights. So that will be the first jail that implements that technology. The federal government, as you recall, rebuffed our request to allow jamming in the prison, so we've had to invest that instead. There's some money for canine units for contraband detection. We've been raising our own dogs, not only to sniff for drugs, but also for cell phones. We can train dogs with treats to sniff for almost anything. And so we've raised a whole canine unit to sniff for cell phones. What else? We're expanding the internal investigations unit, so there'll be $1 million for that. It's a statewide function, but certainly Baltimore City Jail is an important component of that. There's $2 million for upgrades to cameras and video recording equipment. Some of that may inure to the benefit of Baltimore City Jail. The managed access program itself that I mentioned, the new technology, that's how it's referred to. And we'll be expanding that to other institutions as well. And I mentioned the 100 correctional officers for the system overall.
Governor, just to follow up on Len's question, you mentioned that much of the cuts over your, but part of the cuts are a reduction in spending growth. Can you name one area of government that's smaller than it was 8 years ago?
Sure. Could probably do, the executive, the executive branch on a per capita basis is smaller than it's been at any time since 1973. Eloise, you want to...
Basically, we have eliminated over 5,800 positions in this budget. So as the governor was saying, on a per capita basis, when we look back, the size of state government has shrunk tremendously, and we're basically at where we were in 1973. So I think that's been one of the largest areas.
But Rob, you won't find, as population grows, and particularly, in a time when you go through a recessionary time and there's extended unemployment benefits or rather the temporary aid to needy families and things of that mm-hmm. nature, in any administration, there's been growth so long as there's population growth. I can tell you, go back to that slide, will you please, the one that has us at 2%. I don't know if you might have missed this one. But this is shows you the average annual spending growth. So yes, as population growth, or I'll tell you one of the areas in order to accommodate the number of people that want a college education in a growing population, enrollment grows, and as your enrollment grows, your costs for that grow. So the population is always growing, and as the population growth, there's certain costs that go with that. Public schools is another one. That one for the per capita, it's funded by a per capita formula. But if you look at average annual spending growth in the apples to apples comparison and look at general fund, or if and you don't include rainy day, if you include rainy day, you can do that too. It comes out however way you want to look at it, whether you want to look at total funds, whether you want to look at general funds excluding rainy day, whether you want to look at total funds, general funds, including rainy day, however you slice it, there has not been administration of the last six, do we count Blair Lee? Well, 1, 2, 3, 4, of that has more tightly constrained spending and spending growth than we have. Some things, I mean, we've eliminated some things like the helicopter unit at DNR altogether. I'm trying to create some pictures for you. We have eliminated altogether, the House of Corrections, which was a
police barracks.
Shut down a number of state police barracks, including the one that's currently used by the Department of Public Works for Annapolis, the city of Annapolis. A number of mental hospitals. So why don't you do, I'd like to see like the staffing size, not just dollar terms, mm-hmm. but I'd like to see staffing times, because I know in some areas we cut so far that it ended up having, you realize only after you've cut that you're starting to experience increased lines and decreased services in some places. I'm not sure that this is the ideal staffing necessarily. But I can tell you it's the smallest it's been since 1973. And I'd like to see the staffing. Mm-hmm. I know in some departments it's smaller than others. I know in the universities their staffing kind of eclipses those, pin reductions in the rest of the state government.
Governor, you haven't proposed any new taxes. Do you see a scenario where you might have to, perhaps how the legislature reacts to this budget?
Yeah. I don't see that, because so much of the tough decisions that we've made over these last few years have righted this ship, have gotten us on a better course. There were some very fiscally irresponsible things that we did that in hindsight, I think everyone would agree we should not have done, especially if we knew a recession was about to break on our bow. So we've corrected a lot of the short-sighted math, if you will, of the prior decade. And we've done that tough work in the course of these last few years. And I do believe that it is, and I know it's only because of those tough decisions, that we're on a path now to retire that structural deficit. Now, but there's always a new General Assembly session, and if we always learned from history, we wouldn't have to repeat it so often, right? So any legislature can make different decisions. But on the path we're on right now, we've made the major structural changes, both on the spending side and also on the revenue side, that has us on a much better path. Yes, ma'am. Glad to work with them on it. I mean, if both of the presiding officers and their legislative leaders feel strongly about it, I'm certainly glad to look at that. I think we last checked, what does the estate tax generate? About $253 million. And what's the price tag on, well, maybe we do this at another time. Maybe you know. What's the price tag on the coupling to the federal approach?
I don't know.
Okay, I can't tell you off the top of our head. We're glad to work with them on that. Yeah, sure. If they feel strongly about it, we'll certainly work on that. And decisions like that will then force us to make other SNPs and.
But you don't feel strong.
I don't. I'm not an ideologue on it. I mean, I'm for what works and what's fiscally responsible. I mean, we saw what can happen if you're not fiscally responsible. It all comes crashing down eventually. It's time to. There comes a time when you have to pay the piper. So, I'm not. You know, I'm very pragmatic. I'm not ideological about it. I don't really. It's all about balance, like anything. You know, it's all about balance. Yes, sir.
Governor, this is more of a reflective question. So, this is your last state budget.
Can you tell by which of the four of us is smiling most
yes.
broadly?
He's not smiling so much. Based upon what the future holds, you may write other budgets. So, people across this country are going to look here in Maryland and look at the last 8 years. What can they learn about Governor Mark O'Malley from this body of work and your philosophy as far as being a steward of tax dollars?
Well, the story of these last 8 years have been years when we've been able to forge the consensus necessary to make the tough decisions that restore fiscal responsibility. I mean, and it's because we were able to make those decisions, beginning early with that special session of 2007, which nobody particularly wanted to go through. But because we did that early, we were able to come out of this recession in advance of other states. And in many cases, in a stronger competitive standing with our competitor states than we were before we went into it. What's a pithier run at that? No progress is possible without a job. And in order for an economy to function and grow, and for your middle class to grow, your government has to behave in a fiscally responsible way. You have to balance your budget. You have to be willing to make the tough cuts, but also the smart investments that benefit all and uplift the prosperity of our middle class, which is something every state is struggling to do again. Thank you for asking.
Governor, can you cite any examples of how specifically your budget relates to job growth and go back to your kitchen table discussions at home so that people can understand why this is so important?
Sure. You want to go back to the jobs budget slide? Probably a good. There, in your state. In this state budget, there are 48,000 jobs. Excuse me. This year's state budget supports 48,000 jobs building some really needed things, whether it's rebuilding our roads and bridges, whether it's upgrading our water and wastewater infrastructure, whether it's rebuilding modern classrooms and new schools. These are things that will put 48,000 moms and dads to work just in our capital investments throughout the state, building needed things for the people of Maryland. Beyond that, there are also the salaries of dedicated workers that are supported, protecting us on the street. This will be the highest amount that we have ever funded the local police aid grant. And it is also record funding for education. So all of the dedicated teachers that are in our kids' schools, if we send our children to public schools, as well as those that teach in our colleges and community colleges and our public health professionals. So these are, not to mention those that are taking care of our loved ones when they're sick or our parents through Medicare or Medicaid and the billing that goes on through that. So these are all the things that we do, and it's part of what it takes to make our economy go.
So do you consider this then a mission accomplished?
Well, it's never accomplished, Pat. I mean, never accomplished. And there'll be another portrait, hopefully, after mine. It's never accomplished. You're never done. But I do feel some degree of satisfaction in knowing that I served such a fair and good people that together we were able to tackle this structural deficit. We were able to make the difficult decisions and that we were able to create a better tomorrow. So, it's a journey. It's never over. I feel very honored to have played my small role in it.
Pensions. I understand you're taking some money out of the $300 million.
additional pension payments, and just using it in the budget? Is that accurate, and did the union sign off on this, and are they aware of what you're doing?
Yeah, there's a few things that we're doing. Why don't you go to the slide, kind of the first slide of that second deck. You may recall the largest public employee protest march that we've had, at least in my 8 years here, was when we had to reform our pension system in order to make it more sustainable. It was on an unsustainable path. The contributions from the employer side and the employee side was not sufficient. It was undercapitalized, and the goal was to get back to 80%. And so we contributed more. Employees contributed more, and we were on a glide path to reach that 80% by 2024, right?
After the reform.
After the reform, we were then on a path to reach that 80% solvency by 2024. Due to more favorable actuarial forecasts, we are able to save approximately $172 million from our side of this equation that allows us to close the gap from last year and this year, but also to continue to make a $200 million annual payment that will put us on that 80% glide path, not by 2024, but by 2025. And we believe that that is that's a prudent step to take. The other big chunk of the cuts and transfers and the things that allow us to reach balance is the more favorable experience and savings that we've realized in our employee and retiree health costs. This is funded 80-20 between us and the workers. And so call it a wellness windfall, if you will. For the employees, that will come back to them in the form of a kind of a health care deduction holiday over four pay periods.
Yes.
And then this 164 represents our 80% of those savings from lower than anticipated health care costs. And this wellness windfall we will use for balance. $61 million is constraining private provider rate increases to 2.5% and also deferring them by 6 months, as indeed we're deferring our own state employees from any raise for 6 months as well. $47 million in reductions to agency operating expenses, some administrative costs from Medicaid, reductions of an IT project, $9 million capping growth for community and private colleges, and then some other miscellany. But the biggest items are those first two, the lesser payment on the pension stuff, which still gets us, still a considerable payment, and gets us to solvency by 2025. And the other one is the health care savings, which is 164.
Other? Yes.
Yes. Other. Is that it? We good? Thank you all. It's been fun.